Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. Hi, Carol. Are you here with me, Carol?
Carol needs to unmute.
Carol needs to unmute.
Okay, how's this?
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Great.
So today we have a very practical show, and it came about from two things that were said. And one was the fact that on our New Year's show, Dr. Dekel was on, and I was asking him questions about his year, and he made a statement that when he has cancer patients, he discusses with them that cancer is a learning. And he asks them, what did you learn from this disease? And he said, bar none. Different words, but bar none, they say, I wasn't taking care of myself. And that just rang out so loud and clear to me. And then, And then Carol came back from a conference and said something very important to me. And she said that what they have found is centenarians, people who have lived to 100 or 100 plus, have very stable glucose levels. They don't go surging up or surging down, which means they have very stable insulin levels. And that kept on ringing in my mind. So today, Carol and I have put together directions or a template on how to take care of yourself. And we're going to want you to join in the conversation, because what is more important than taking care of yourself? I know taking care of our family, but we can't take care of our families unless we take care of ourselves. And how do our families learn how to take care of themselves? By watching us take care of them and watching us take care of ourselves. It's a very powerful learning. So, Carol, are we ready for this?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. The thing that you mentioned with blood glucose, this gentleman was telling me this story. He saw a documentary, and this was one thing that all centenarians had in common, was very stable blood glucose.
Yeah, not their diets.
Not their diets. Their diets could be, maybe they like chocolates, maybe they liked ice cream, maybe they did eat well.
Maybe they ate dairy, maybe they didn't eat dairy, depending on what area they were coming from.
Right. So they use this further. They observe that animals who produce venom also have very stable blood glucose. And so now they've even created a drug from the venom of the Gila monster.
Whoa.
It's called semaglutide, and it's used in diabetes, but it's become very popular as a weight loss mechanism. And that's one of the things that weight gain is really tied into. I think we've almost beat this to death talking about insulin resistance and variable blood sugar levels. So this drug actually stabilizes that. It's amazing.
I don't think we beat it enough.
I, I don't either. So something's genetically wrong with me.
Yeah.
I'm not a venomous.
Oh, no, no, no. That's the part we're going to dump is genetically wrong, blaming everything on genetics. We're going to dump that. And we're going to redirect all of that. And that even that saying, it takes all our responsibility away. Even that saying does that. So what we're going to do is we're going to redirect it to epigenetics. And epigenetics are how our environment, our life, our lifestyle affect and change, literally change our genetics, right down to the BRCA gene. The BRCA gene has a that's the gene that has a very high incidence of breast cancer. And what, right down to the BRCA gene. But when you look at the past, you had the same number of people with the BRCA gene, yet 80% fewer breast cancers. What was happening? What was happening is that our environment is different, was different. We didn't have pesticides, estrogenic pesticides. We didn't have packaged foods like we have today. We didn't have all the, we didn't even have high fructose corn syrup at that time.
And no, and we didn't have Monsanto sprinkling all over our food.
Exactly.
We didn't have the huge stress that has been created socially over the last couple of years.
And so what happens is that that gene wasn't turned on. So even though we do have some very strong determinant genes, we are very empowered at this time in our lives, at this time in our understanding of nutrition and how to direct it, at this time in understanding of balancing micro and macronutrients. We have a lot of power. We've heard, you know, 23 years ago when we started this show, Dr. Chuck Simone came on and said 95% of cancers, and he said bar none, are directly related to environment and environmental living habits. 5%, and maybe even less than that, are genetically determined. So that, and I would listen to that statistic and I would think, well, you know, that's saying a lot. And yet now, 23 years later, I totally agree with him because I see what happens. I see my patients. I see my family. I see the community. And what is happening is that the majority of cancers that we're seeing are very directly related to our life and lifestyle. So we're going to be asking for you to call in with questions. Maybe we didn't clarify a point enough for you, or call in with suggestions, or even call in and tell us what's your program. You know, it is a deficiency. We have a strong deficiency right now. That deficiency is that caregivers don't take care of themselves. And we see that a lot. We see it in hospitals. We see it in medical people. We see it in mothers. We see it in fathers who are taking care of their family. We see it in every form of caregiver that there is. And what we're going to do today is we're going to outline a very simple, surprisingly simple programs that can change your epigenetics. Carol?
So where do you want to start?
Oh, 212-209-2877.
Oh, that's right. 212-209-2877. So much of our medical system, We rely on biochemistry, the elements that our food gives us energy, their protein, carbohydrates, fats, their nutrients, vitamins, minerals, enzymes. And at the conference I was at, they were discussing the big impact, and maybe it will make the biochemical type of treatments obsolete with time. We don't know. But we use food for energy, and a lot depends on the type of energy we get. But they are creating devices and interesting products based on energy and actually directly charge your cells without any nutrition whatsoever. They are talking about in bioenergy that it's a transfer of information. And that could be something we're more familiar with, and I'd like to call attention to everybody, is that homeopathy, those people who use homeopathy, what they've done is create products that contain information. And you can dilute those homeopathic remedies, far beyond where there could be any molecule of any physical substance. And yet these are the very strongest of the homeopathic remedies when they're diluted far beyond what could be a substance. So they take a lot of flack about that with regulators and so on and so forth, but it has held the test of time. We had a homeopathic medical school in Philadelphia that was very respected and very well known in its time. It wasn't until the Rockefellers got into the medical field and decided that we needed chemical substances to treat us, and instead of using, again, nutrition and things like homeopathic remedies, which are a little more difficult to explain, but they still are. Currently, the FDA is attacking homeopathic medicine. So check your internet and Google it. If you are a supporter of this type of medicine, there are places where you can go and volunteer and help them. I don't believe that we should be disallowing any type of medicine. Just imagine, you know, we're in this information age and we don't have access to the world's medicine. We don't know what people are doing in Saudi Arabia. We don't know what they're doing in Turkey. We don't know what they're using in South Africa. And they may have remedies, tried and true remedies, nutrition, maybe energetic, that we cannot access. Our resources are limited, and it's a real shame. Corinne?
Yes, it's very that's a very interesting concept. And homeopathy is literally the original, the absolutely original transfer of energy to create a physical response. And that's where they develop vaccines. So they develop vaccines based on the concept of homeopathy. But they changed it quite a bit. So what I'm going to do is bring it back to the practical, and I'm going to
Okay.
look at some hacks that we can do in our life that'll make big changes in our health. And they're tiny changes that we make, because what happens is so often we create a postulate or a wish, a New Year's Eve resolution, and it's big. Something big is going to
So,
happen.
a
And
big
we look,
one.
yeah, a big one. Then we look up next year and it hasn't happened. What we really want to do is we want to look at tiny things that we can do today, tomorrow, the next day, that build on each other and make us feel better. So let me list a couple of them, and I'm going to start out with, and I'll tell you why I'm going to start out with why I'm doing each one, is I'm going to start out with green drinks if we can. Now, I don't every morning have the time to create a perfectly fresh green drink, but that would be the absolute ideal, a drink with spinach, cucumbers, my favorite, a little bit of ginger, and to bring down inflammation. Even they've got this raw turmeric, a little piece of turmeric also in it. Also, you could put some berries in it. Now, it's not a complete green drink, but it's a very high polyphenol drink. And what are we doing with that? We're getting our base nutrients that are very high in potassium. Well, why do we care? We care because potassium is essential for giving ourselves and allowing ourselves to take up energy and create energy. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for high energy, high no, a normal amount of high energy, and which will help us create optimal health. So green drinks are wonderful, and there's some really good freeze-dried green drinks. You want to look for the best. I always, there's a million of them in the store. I pick them up and my eyes fog over because I never know. Oh, well, this one sounds better than that one. That one sounds better than this one. I never do that to myself. I only go with companies that I trust. I love the.
Do you remember when we had Dr. Dana Cohen on our show? Her book about hydration included just doing something like that, the ability of people to absorb the minerals from a green drink is much greater than if you had water in a supplement.
Without
And that's one thing we don't have enough of is hydration. Yeah.
that.
Not enough hydration going on. And in winter, it's even worse.
It's
So,
even worse.
in order to keep your body hydrated, getting some of your nutrients through the minerals that are available to you in a green drink. And let's just talk about polyphenols for a second. There's a big problem in our guts with lipopolysaccharides. When we have abnormal flora in our gut, bacteria or candida, they excrete an endotoxin, also called lipopolysaccharide. And these break through our gut walls and create leaky guts. They're very inflammatory. And it's the polyphenols in our diet that mop that up for us.
That literally go along and seal those holes.
Seal the holes, but mop up the LPS so they don't bother us. We do not want that absorbed into our bloodstream, and it's the cause of a lot of inflammatory illnesses, having LPS or endotoxins being absorbed from your gut. So this also, besides the hydration and the super nutrition, you also have a level of protection.
So we start out with green drinks. Now, I'll tell you two, three of the companies that I know right off the top of my head, right this second as we're speaking. The first green drink that I ever had was put together by Allergy Research. And they have a wonderful green drink. Another green drink that I really trust because I trust the doctor, and that's Body Health Green Drink, and that's Dr. Minkoff, who's been on this show multiple times. Another green drink that I really like is by, and I don't work for any of these companies. I'm just trying to clear up all the confusion or some of the confusion. Another green drink that I really like is one by Orthomolecular, and they've got a very good one. I don't know if Protocol does, but these are very trustworthy companies. They're companies I use in my office, but I trust what they put out because I know the kind of research that they use before they put anything out to the public. So the next thing I'm going to say Yes, even though you're having green drinks, you want a minimum of one salad a day. And you don't just want just plain lettuce salad. I put avocado because I want to have good fats in my salad. I put radicchio, that red kind of bitter. I mix my salad with a sweet lettuce, like a head lettuce, always organic, or romaine lettuce, and then I put some bitter herbs in there. I put arugula, and I put some onion, and in the dressing I put a little garlic. I put the best olive oil I can find, always to the best of my ability, organic. So now we've got a green drink, and we've got a salad. Those are easy to incorporate into your life.
I want to bring up another salad.
Yes.
Dr. Ray Peet recently died, but he was a big researcher in the area of progesterone and other bioidentical hormones. And he was quite the thinker about a great deal of biochemistry. So he devised this carrot salad. So
Oh,
you
sounds
shred the
good.
carrot. And then you use coconut oil and apple cider vinegar, and you have a serving every day. A lot of people doing this will make up a container like for the week and eat a little bit of it every day, like maybe like I do sauerkraut. What the advantages of that is you get amazing fibers. There are a good deal of women in perimenopause that recycle their estrogens. And this is because of the type of gut flora that they're harboring and not necessarily good. Well, the
That's exactly
carrots
how comfortable.
help relieve that, relieves constipation. I myself eat a carrot almost every day. I chew it up.
And so that would be an excellent way to get the carotenoids, beta carotene and multiple carotenoids, which protect
Right,
our
right.
eyes.
And a huge amount of fiber. Excuse me for popping out a minute. Awesome.
That's all right. And apple cider vinegar, taking a tablespoon once to three times a day with each meal, helps our digestion, helps acidify, interesting, acidify our blood, which what we find is very often we find our blood is almost too alkaline. And then it helps balance our blood sugar. So what we're looking at in everything we're doing is a blood sugar balance. So these are three things that are easy to incorporate. I want to add another thing. Or do
I
you
saw,
want to add
I
apple
saw,
cider vinegar? What?
Corinne, let me just say something about apple cider vinegar. There's a guy on TikTok or something, and he's wearing a continuous glucose monitor. And so he's testing foods, and then he reports like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, what happened. So he mixed up a solution of just plain sugar, like 25 grams of sugar, about 5 teaspoons. And then he drank it, and his blood glucose on his monitor went crazy. And then he added a couple tablespoons of apple cider vinegar in a glass of water, followed by that same amount of sugar. And lo and behold, the effect on the blood glucose was much more muted. It was amazing to see. Now, I can't say that's going to be the truth for every single person,
For everyone.
but it's interesting. We have tools. Like, remember that a stable blood glucose is a goal, then having apple cider vinegar before you eat may actually help that.
Yeah, exactly. Might mute the big peaks and the drops,
Right.
and which would be quite wonderful. So we also want to increase our fats. Well, why would we want to increase our fats? We want good fats that also help mute the surging up of the blood sugar. And when our fats are adequate, we're not hungry for sugars. Our body and our brain feel balanced and satiated. And we can do that by adding avocado, by eating olives, by having some coconut, by using coconut oils. We want good oils. We want good fats. We don't want any old fat. And if we're going to increase the fats by using fatty meats, then we want them to be as much as possible organic, grass-fed organic meats, because just like I said, we don't want any old fat. We want the good fats to enhance our health, overall health. Carol?
Should I bring up fish oil? You and I don't agree on that.
No. Why? You don't agree with fish oil? I agree with fish oil.
I know. This is a real touchy thing, and I haven't wanted to talk about it. But okay. I have concerns about fish oil because it's so easily becoming rancid. And also, the fish oils come from cold water fish. So as soon as you put it in your body, the ability for it to oxidize increases because you're now running at higher temperature. So I prefer to eat the fish rather than do a fish oil. And even I have some little tins of cod livers I'll eat once in a while, which are delicious, rather than doing extracted oil. So what do you think?
I think that there's two ways. I'm mispractical. I think that there's different ways of getting around that. And one is that when you can smell the rancidity, you open up a bottle, and particularly, now that's another thing, is I don't use any old fish oil. I don't like the ratios. They change their ratios. I think the most dependable and the highest quality fish oil available in this country is Carlson. They've been around forever. They're tried and true. And even the Vikings used to get oils. And they're all these things, statements that they have written up in poems of how when they started using the oils, they stopped getting sick. And the British would come to buy the oils from them. And the Nordic people would only sell them the rancid ones. And yet it was very highly prized in England to be able to get the oil from the Nordic islands up there. And so I think, but then there's the thing that I was going to say, is that you open up the bottle, and you take one vitamin E capsule and prick it with a needle and squeeze it into the bottle. Or you could put two and squeeze it into the bottle, put the top on it, and just rotate it back and forth, and that oil will not go rancid. It'll be perfect. So I love the fact of eating the oil through the fish, but very often in the different parts of the country, we really can't get enough for enough to create a healthy balance in our body. So by doing that little trick, you can be assured. But anytime you open up the bottle, if it smells a little iffy, I toss it.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
Let's hear from our audience if they want to call in, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Join in the discussion.
So I'm going to say one other thing while we're waiting for someone to call in. I'm going to say this, and this is easy but hard. No snacking. Zero zip, no snacking. Our digestion needs to rest between meals. Our insulin needs to come down between meals. We don't need a constantly elevated insulin throughout the day from breakfast to before we go to bed because we continuously snack. Snacking is one of the worst things we did for our health. And we were taught how to do that by the food industry that wanted to sell more. And it broke our metabolisms. So what we want to do is we want no snacking. So far, if you took any one of these things we've said so far, there will be changes in your health. And let me repeat them. Green drinks. A mixed and varied salad. Carol gave you one idea. I gave you other ideas. Apple cider vinegar, a tablespoon, 1 to 3 or 4 times a day, will stabilize our blood sugar, will help our digestion, will speed our metabolism. Healthy fats, avocado, olive oil, coconut oil. Always try to get organic, the best of your ability. And then no snacking. That's a trick. And it's made us all unhealthy. And no snacking. Even kids don't need a lot of snacking. When we used to come home and we say, Mom, can we get a cookie? We'd come home from school. No, it'll ruin your appetite.
Right.
No.
Wait for dinner.
What?
Wait for dinner.
Exactly. No, you cannot. Now kids get home, they're fed, and then they go to play a sport. And before they go, they eat. And then in the break, they eat. And then after, they eat. They don't need that much food to be able to play baseball.
Another atrocity is that they've put in schools vending machines for sodas and
candy bars
and chips and things. What an atrocity. There was a school in Appleton that was a magnet school for the children who had trouble learning and were disruptive. And a couple that were highly involved in nutrition, actually, he developed, it was Manitowoc ovens. He developed like brainy bagels, which had nutrients in it. And they took over the food service in this Appleton school. And so every day the children got to pick freshly prepared foods, fruits and vegetables, meats, eggs, dairy, whatever they wanted to eat. And interesting enough, they left out milk to the very end because they didn't consider milk that essential for children. And I have to agree. Well, this only took about a month. And the school, who had armed guards normally, were now running just fine. The children were paying attention in the classes. The teacher said they had eye contact, which they never had before. And pretty soon, the community all wanted to send their children to that school. And it's a real... It's a really good lesson. And a good 20 years ago, I listened to their story personally, and they had prepared a little video, a documentary, and I was so emotionally moved. There's no reason why we couldn't do that in every single school in the United States to make sure children were eating well. I had a friend who was working in food service for primary school in Plano, Texas, and I went to meet her at work, and she offered me lunch. And, and I look at what she was offering me, I go, oh, I wouldn't serve myself that much, much less these kids with their growing bodies and growing brains. It's an atrocity.
Well, in Italy, in schools, they have all organic. In Japan, in schools, They have all organic for kids. They say it's totally essential for children to get good, healthy foods. And then I'm going to add three more rules. And they're all rules, but they're all equally important. Stop going out to eat. What they're saying they put in there on the menu very often is not accurate of what they put in the foods. It's oversalted, over-fatted, but usually with cheap oils. They have to make a living, the restaurants. So it's very important that we stop going out to eat. We don't depend our health and nutrition. We don't depend on others to create that for us. And by going out to eat once, twice, four times a week, we're depending on other people for our nutrition, and that is not good for us. And then the next one is really limit your fruit. Now, I just heard something very interesting. I got a very, totally new understanding of high fructose corn syrup and glucose. Now, the only place that high fructose corn syrup can be broken down is in our liver. There's no other part of our body that can break it down. Whereas glucose, when we eat regular sugar or glucose or fruit, which has some fructose, but not high fructose corn syrup, that can be broken down in every part of our body, every muscle, every brain cell. Every cell in our body can break down glucose. So what's happening is when we're dumping these high fructose corn syrup drinks down our throats or we're everything. The other day I went to buy some jam and I usually go with European jams because there's no high fructose corn syrup. Now, even in some of the European jams, it's high fructose corn syrup. So you really have to be careful. It's in everything, and you have to be watching. And what it does is it moves into the liver. The liver cannot handle the load of the high fructose corn syrup. So it moves it into fat, into triglycerides, this sticky little form of cholesterol that moves through your veins and artery, clogging up the works. So high fructose corn syrup is dangerous, and we want to limit our fruits. We don't generally have to limit our berries, but we want to limit our fruits. And we want
Okay, Corinne, we have a caller waiting.
Oh, great. Hi. You're live on BAI. Your name, please.
Hello. Hey, my name
Hi.
is Mitch. You did a
Hello.
program once on ovarian cancer and the link between, I think it's Johnson's Beta baby powder and ovarian cancer. Is that,
Yes.
can you quote on that? Was that verified
It
or what?
wasn't. It wasn't us, but Carol, do you know about this one?
Yes, it was talc. Talc, and there's a huge class action suit against them, and I think it's been won. So if you think that's been an issue for you, it's perhaps you could look into it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's not baby powder, it's talcum powder then.
It's talcum powder.
Which
Yep. Which a lot of
Which
people
baby
used to
powder?
powder the baby's butts, and they find out it's not so innocuous after all.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank
That's a
you.
great question.
Yeah. So the last rule is limit your alcohol. It takes 2 to 3 days for alcohol to move through the liver. So if you're drinking once every 3 days, your liver does not have the chance to completely clear it out and detox itself. So we have to understand you can have a little alcohol on the weekends, but every day just makes it very hard on our livers to clean it out. So we have the beginning of our tiny changes. I would love you to pick one or two, and things will start to shift on you. You'll start feeling a little, just a little bit better, which will motivate you to pick a couple more of our tiny changes. And
some aren't so tiny.
I'm sorry, what?
Some aren't so tiny. Like,
yeah,
eliminating snacks if you've been a big snacker.
Well, you start slowly. You start slowly with everything. And if you're increasing your oils, you're not going to need to snack so much because you're not going to be as hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing is you're not taking away, you're substituting. Like if you really love chocolate, well, what are you going to do? Stop all chocolate? No, but you can find chocolate alternatives. I have a keto chocolate here that has no sugar in it, and it's quite delicious. You can get that. You can get chocolate chips that way also. There are wonderful recipes on how to make cookies out of almond flour or pecan flour or coconut flour. And you can create them and put some chocolate chips, keto chocolate chips in them and mix them up. So now you don't have to completely 100% eliminate every cookie for the rest of your life. That's not the intention. The intention is to create what we like in our lives and make it healthy so it enhances us rather than tears us down every time we do it. Carol?
Well, I was just thinking about my massage therapist.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, and I try to get a massage from him about once a month. And he is really into being an energy worker, a healer, and the power of the human hands touching your skin and imparting energy is tremendous. You and I were talking the other day about emotions being held in your body, that until you release these emotions, whether it's fear or anger, greed, whatever. There's all kinds of emotions, but it actually becomes an impediment to our healing. We get physical damage from emotions. And then there was Candace Pert wrote a book about molecules of emotion. It was a tremendous work that your emotions actually create physical molecules in your brain, in your body. And she did that very, very nicely. And it's been like a hallmark of trying to understand emotion. So those things are really, really important. You know, don't wait till you're on your deathbed to heal your relationships. If you've been holding on to something, you can have ancestral issues. It could be not your issue particularly. It could have been your mom's and your grandmother's. And this carries on to your physical functioning in this world. So it's pretty fascinating. So I like when I have my massage and I had a very tight neck and he's trying to get from me what motion I'm holding in there. And I'm not quite sure, but he certainly has helped my neck when I get a massage. And I'm not sure I can verbalize what I was holding. So there's a lot to that. I really believe massage should be used a lot more than it is.
Well, Well, first of all, 212-209-2877. And I don't know why, but we have a habit of having people call in late. And then
there's another caller holding.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. 212-209-2877. Hi, you're live on BAI.
Hi, my name is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, I'm 72 years old, and I thought you both would find this very interesting. But before I say what I called in for, I do agree with you. Massages are really, really great. But the reason I'm calling is I have osteoarthritis. I went to a rheumatologist, and I also went to an endocrinologist. They both suggested that I take a shot that I would give myself for a year. It's called Teriparatide, but the brand name is called Forteo.
Yeah.
I saw both of these doctors different times. After they told me how they thought I could take it, the next thing that came out of each of their mouths is, oh, by the way, it might give you cancer. And then
Thank you.
Of them gave me information, a patient fact sheet, and as I'm reading it, it says that the FDA has a black box warning on the medication. So when I read it further, it said it could increase the risk of sarcoma. So you can imagine when the doctors told me that, the expression I had on my face. But considering how you feel about health and taking care of yourself, I thought you would find that interesting.
Well, I find it more than interesting. I find it a little sad because with all that we know now, osteoarthritis, depending on what stage it is at, is very, or can, let's not, I mean, let me qualify this, can be very reversible. And if it's totally severe and all the time they take an x-ray and they say it's bone on bone, they love to say that, it's bone on bone. And when other people look at it, they don't really see bone on bone always, every time. And we see things, and we see that cartilage can regrow itself. It all depends on how severe it is. It depends on your nutrients, diet and nutrition. And there are oral ways to approach this problem, which include balancing your hormones, which is essential for the ability to build up cartilage, and also diet. We're really understanding something new about proteins. We want to bring, what is this? It's inflammation in the joint that's settled in the joint into a weak spot. We want to bring down inflammation. Seriously and aggressively get that inflammation down. As long as the inflammation is peaking, you're not going to be able to heal yourself. So everything that we've said so far, literally, it's a code word for bringing down inflammation.
Well, thank you both very, very much.
David Brownstein wrote a book called Overcoming Arthritis. It's one of his best books.
Okay.
It depends on two things. One is hormones, that you restore your hormones, and two, that you treat the underlying infection. And it's quite an eye-opener book. I think you'd love it. I think we might have another caller.
Okay, I'm going to say two more things. Osteoarthritis, depending on the severity, PRP, platelet-rich plasma, PRP, with ozone can be tremendous in terms of, and then exosomes and stem cells, depending on what level it is. Okay?
Thank you.
So good luck. Call us back and tell us how you did and what you chose to do.
Okay. Well, I'm certainly not taking the shot.
Don't do nothing. Don't do nothing.
All right. Thank you.
Take action. Hi, you're live on BAI, and we just have a couple of minutes. So how can I help you?
No, there's no more callers.
Oh. Okay, thanks, Reggie.
Okay, so, you know, so in conclusion, what I'd like to say is that all these hacks can be easy and can be fun. And they literally are hacks to literally change your gene expression. The power of it cannot be overestimated. It's very powerful. Carol?
These are all really wonderful things, and I think we're just touching the surface
on
how we can help ourselves. And that's the most important part, to determine to help yourself. Your doctor is not going to come to Sunday dinner. They have their own agendas, and you're just a cog in their wheel. The only person that cares about you is you, and you have to take charge of that, as our show is, take charge of your health. The only person who can make positive changes or negative changes is you. So keeping that in mind, let's work on a really good 2023, and let's all reach a new, better state of health.
Now, we have to remember, or what I want to say, this program was for all of us, but it was specifically focused on the caregivers. We want the caregivers to know that they're appreciated, and they need to take care of themselves also, not be so totally selfless that they lose themselves in the process. And those people that were taking care of need us. And the only way they'll have us is if we take care of ourselves. So I just want to say it was really, what a fun hour, Carol.
Yes.
And I would like to say, please, this is a listener-sponsored station. Please call in 212. 212-